I got bipolar, and this is what happened. Sabah here, the founder of Mentally Fit Muslims. Unleash your inner strength with Mentally Fit Muslims. You can embark on a journey of resilience and triumph with our exclusive membership for mental health management. It's a safe haven tailored towards you. It's a support system designed for Muslims facing unique challenges. Why should you choose Mentally Fit Muslims? Well, you experience a community that understands your journey, and there's compassionate companionship. You join hands with people who are in the same situation as you, who are on a path to mental wellness. You can access resources and tools that are specific to your need, and you can engage in uplifting activity that inspire growth and positivity. And that's because your mental health matters. Now go on mentallyfitmuslims.org and click on membership to join today. See you inside. I remember the day I was first sick, or when I was first having a bipolar episode. It is as clear as the screen you see in front of you. That's how well I remember it. I remember walking on the sidewalk, and I was on my way to the chemistry building. I was in university at the time, and it was my first year, and just for the first couple of months of university, actually I would say 6 months, all I did was sleep. I would skip all the classes and I would just sleep and sleep and sleep. I just didn't have the energy to go to the lectures, and my mind was all foggy, and I just felt so slow. And going to class where the professor would talk about chemistry formulas was really, really difficult for me and my brain. But then all of that was gone, and the darkness started to lift, and it was as if I never had that depression before. It's as if the depression just disappeared. And things were so clear and crisp, and everything made sense, and things were just so easy and smooth. And I didn't know why. I didn't know that I was actually going through the manic phase of bipolar. All I thought was, well, that depression is gone and now I'm free again. And I remember going to a chemistry midterm that I had, and I was sitting through the test and I was getting all the answers right. I felt like I knew everything, and I finished so fast. I was one of the first ones to finish, and I left the class, and I came home from my class, and for the next 7 days I didn't eat or sleep, but I had the energy of a horse. I was running around the house, going up and down the stairs, and I was just flying everywhere. And my dad would try to, you know, contain me or hold me, but he couldn't. He couldn't even grasp me. You know, that's how fast I was. That's how full of energy I was. And interestingly, at the same time, I was having hypersexuality and hyperreligiosity. Yeah, try to grapple with that at the same time. Those are symptoms of a bipolar manic episode. Only I had no idea that this was. And eventually, after the 7 days, my parents thought, as many Muslim parents wrongly think, innocently, they think, they thought that I was being possessed by jinns. So, of course, they called the sheikh. And when they called the sheikh and he performed the ruqya and nothing happened, nothing changed, that's when my parents realized that I need to go to the hospital. So they took me to the hospital, and there I found this out later. I was admitted to the hospital, and I, for 3 days straight, they put me on antipsychotics and sedatives, and I slept for 3 days straight. And I remember being in a dark room, and the only thing I remember is a window being open and a nurse peeking in to make sure I was okay. So all this I was told after. So after I had that 3 days of sleeping and some time in the psychiatric ward, I met with the doctors. And they, in a boardroom, there was a whole bunch of doctors and nurses and social workers or whatever. I don't know exactly, but there was just a bunch of professionals in a boardroom. And I asked them, what is going on? And they were very reluctant to give a diagnosis. So all they said is, well, we think you had a nervous breakdown and this is how you reacted to it. So they gave me some medication and sent me home. I went home and I took that medication, and I think it was for a month. And once the month was over, I thought, well, you know, that's it. That's the end of this whole thing that went on. Because I thought, you know, just like you have a headache and you take Tylenol, and once the headache is gone, you stop taking Tylenol. I thought it was the same thing. I thought, okay, I had a nervous breakdown, things were better, and now I don't need to take it. And by the way, these episodes, bipolar episodes, always have triggers. And I didn't mention my triggers, but I did have triggers before the depression and before the manic episode. There were stressful triggers that happened, and I was already predisposed to having a mental illness. Sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's environmental. It really depends on the person and what your situation is and what your family history is like. So I went home and everything went back to normal. I went back to school, everything was fine. And then 2 years later, the bipolar beast came back. Only this time, it was more severe than it was before. And again, now that I look back, there were triggers again that made the manic episode, and again, there was a depression episode beforehand, that made the manic episode come on. But I didn't know the triggers. And this time again, I went to the hospital, and it was the first time this image or this moment, I have it really clear in my mind. And it's for a good reason. So I remember looking at the doctor's notes and clearly seeing the word bipolar in there. You know, I think I was in the exam room, the doctor left for a second and the notes were there, and I happened to pick them up and look at them. And then I realized, okay, this is what I have. And I can also see why that I was told in the beginning that it's a nervous breakdown, because doctors are reluctant to give a diagnosis right away. They need to see, well, I'm not a mental health professional. In my situation, what I was told when I asked a doctor, you know, why didn't you first tell me I had bipolar 2 years ago? They said, well, we don't want to just give you the label right away. We need to see how the illness plays out. And if it comes back and it comes back with the same severity or more, then we can safely say that you have this illness. So it was only after the initial episode 2 years later that doctors diagnosed me with bipolar. And when I was in the mania episode, I made a big mistake, which actually in hindsight is the reason why I do this work and why I'm here talking to you. I made the mistake of telling people that I had bipolar. And there was also a lot of things going on in my personal life. And when people found out I had bipolar, well, the vultures came. At least I think vultures are a bit nicer, because they come and they destroy the carcass and they eat from it and then they leave. You know, the damage is done and then it's gone. There's a start and there's an end. But when people find out something that is meant to be private, and again, it's something that, you know, I take it upon myself that I did. So when they found out, I was hit with so much stigma, so many misconceptions. Now here's the dangerous thing about rumors. There's a story. It was said that when a rumor is spread, you know, somebody came to and he said, I spread this rumor. How can I make up to this person, or what can I do? Told him, take a chicken and spread its feathers around the market. Once you do that, go and try to pick them all up. How do you think that's gonna go? You can't. It's impossible to pick up the feathers. Same thing with rumors. Once they're spread, there's no going back. Not only that, it could have been that maybe only one or two people were talking about me. I mean, after all, I'm not the center of the world. I went so, like, in a deep depression. I became so paranoid. I became so careful of where I went, who I talked to, who saw me. And that's because rumors, what they do to you is you start to think everyone is talking about you. Because when you see someone talking about you, everywhere you go, the rumors just circle in your head. And because it's in your head, you see it everywhere. So just be very careful when you talk about someone's mental health challenge. It is a very sensitive topic, and stigma is so dangerous because it can prevent someone from getting help. And when somebody who has a serious mental health challenge and they don't get help, suicide and suicidal attempts are a very, very real possibility. All right, there's my spiel, or there's my venting about stigma. Are you struggling with a mental illness? Well, you're not alone. Mentally Fit Muslims is here to provide you with the support you need. We offer an alternative perspective on mental health that is empowering and spiritual. Our website offers exclusive content on how to take care of your mind and heart. You deserve to be healed, and we are here to help you achieve that goal. Visit mentallyfitmuslims.org now for exclusive content on mental health. Anyways, all those colorful rumors were going around. I'm sure there's only a few, but there's a couple other things somebody said. I won't say them because they're just... it's just so disgusting, and I'm not going to fill my video with it. What I do know is that I thank the people who spread those rumors. I thank my enemies, and I call them my enemies, not because, you know, I hate them and I haven't forgiven them. I have. I forgive them. That's it. You know, that's the best thing to do for your own sake. You don't forgive someone because it's going to help them and you actually are okay with what they did. You actually maybe you're not okay with what they did. And in certain cases, you're not supposed to be okay with what they did. Like, you're not supposed to be validating it or accepting it. You're supposed to see the wrong and validate the wrong. But when you forgive someone, it is actually for your own sanity. It's for your own peace. It actually helps you, your spiritual health and your mental health. So I go back to the enemies, because when you have enemies, let's say you don't have good friends around you to pick out your mistakes and to help you improve, then look at your enemies, because they're going to tell you things that are often true about you. They're going to pick at things that maybe you don't want to see, but they're in your life. So that's what I did. I actually, you know, listened to what they were saying about me, and I said, is it really true? And one of the things that really stood out to me that I learned from that whole incident is that I wasn't being honest with myself. I didn't want to accept the diagnosis. And for 2 years, when things were fine, I didn't really go back and do research or find out what actually happened. I was just completely ignorant, and I had no vocabulary when it came to mental health challenges. So I finally accepted my diagnosis. I realized what beast I was dealing with, and because I accepted it, I could start managing it and mastering it. And when I talk about mastering, I don't mean that you're finally rid of bipolar and there's nothing to do and that's it. That's all, you know, everything is done and clean. For me, mastery is that you keep falling every day, you keep making a mistake every day, But you choose to get up the next day and you choose to fight another day. And you do it for the sake of Allah. That is what mastery is. And a little plug here. I have a mentally fit membership on my website. If you go on mentallyfitmuslims.org, go where it says membership on the tab on the menu, and you'll see that I've made a membership that talks about mental mastery. Because in there, when you join the WhatsApp private group and you get that package, we talk about how mastery is an everyday journey. You don't suddenly one day become, you know, wake up and be a master of something. It's an ongoing process. So that's what I started. But of course, in the beginning, it was very difficult. I would say for the next 3 years, I was in a deep depression. I took all the medications my doctor gave me. I took anything and everything. I was so desperate. I was so desperate for a cure. I just wanted to get my life back. And because of the medications, many of the psychiatric medications will make you gain weight. I gained 60 pounds in 2 months. And that affected my mental health, my physical health. And that translated into my social circle, social health, even financial, personal relationships, school. Just, I didn't want to be seen and I didn't want to go anywhere. And all I wanted to do was die. And subhanAllah, during those 3 years were the most number of suicidal attempts I had. It was that bad. Even though I was taking the medications, they weren't fixing my problem, you know? And that's the key thing about having support. It's not one thing that's gonna fix you. You need multiple things in place that will help you. So I was taking all the medication. I was severely suicidal. There were overdoses. There were, I'm not going to go too much into it. But safe to say that I was very depressed. And I'm so blessed to have gone through that depression. Because now I've written an ebook called Divine Depression. And that's also on my website. The ebook Divine Depression is inspired by the pain that I went through. So it is possible that when you are going through a mental health challenge, when you are suicidal, when things are so bad for you, it's possible to turn it around. So many comments on my YouTube videos are just people listing how bad their life is. I got bipolar and this is what happened. I got depression, this is what happened. Oops. Stay. On my podcast, my mic just fell over, so I'm just fixing that. Anyways, it is possible to turn things around, and that is, again, mastering your mental illness. And again, another ebook, Mastering Bipolar. No, it's called Blessed with Bipolar. That's on my website too. Because I was able to see the blessings inside the hardship. And that's how Allah works. He never ever gives you a hardship and just leaves you like that. He surrounds it in blessings. He mixes it in. It's never alone. The only thing is, are you gonna be able to see it? Are you gonna be able to realize it, that there is a blessing in this hardship? And the opposite way works too. When you have a blessing, it is surrounded in hardship. You might not see it, but it is there. Anyways, as I started to learn more about bipolar, my family started to educate themselves too. And at that time, we went to a nonprofit that was educating and raising awareness about mental health challenges. It was non-Muslims, and that's one of the organizations I'm inspired by to start this nonprofit. My family really started to step it up. My mom would take me to my appointments. My siblings would make sure that I would see some friends. And they would often protect me if they knew that somebody was going to be harmful for my mental health, you know, from the circle that spread the rumors. They would shelter me from that. My aunt, who's a doctor, I mean, which Desi family doesn't have a doctor in their family? Alhamdulillah, she was getting information from all the different psychiatrists that she knew, and she was saying, try this medication. My psychiatrist was not really good. She did not understand the culture of ours. She wasn't very culturally intelligent, and I would have a lot of fights with her. And I remember even trying to switch psychiatrists because it just wasn't working well. Alhamdulillah, I really have a good psychiatrist right now. So I am very blessed. Anyways, at that time, my family really started to build a support network around us, around me. And at this time is when my sister took me to a seminar that was called Mastering Your How to Master Your Emotions and Release Yourself from Depression. And she thought that it would really help me, and it did. Alhamdulillah, it was life altering. And in there, the teacher, I really respected him, and I looked up to him, and I really followed his work. So I went up to him and I said, you know, I've been having a lot of suicidal thoughts. What do I do? I don't know how to overcome them. And he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, if you commit suicide, you will go straight to hell. I was like, whoa. I knew this before, but mashallah, he was such a strong and powerful communicator that he could stick words inside you. He could make you remember them and leave such a strong mark that you would remember it for the rest of your life. And that has been my guiding light. Because here's the thing. I've heard some sheikh say, at least one, I won't say sheikh, shuyukh. I remember watching a lecture and he said, which I think is very dangerous. He said that when a Muslim is having suicidal thoughts, they commit suicide, they are not held accountable and they won't go to hell because they weren't feeling well. They were in a moment of insanity. I agree. Okay. I get that. That makes sense. Okay. Logically, Islamically, that is true. At the same time, there's a nuance, which I heard from a different sheikh, and he said that when you are having suicidal thoughts, there is so much you can do to stop yourself from getting to that point. There's so many preventative measures you can put in place so you don't get to that point. And because of that, you have a lot of responsibility to make sure you don't end up in that spot where you are going to take your life. So it's not like cancer and it's not like diabetes. It's not an illness where, you know, you don't have a lot of choice over it. You don't have a lot of agency. We're blessed with mental health and mental health challenges or mental illnesses because we have a lot of power over it. We have a lot of agency over it. And when you know that you can control something in you or something related to you, that gives you a lot of peace of mind. A lot of stress comes from things that you can't control. You know, you think they're not in your control. But once you grab the reins and you say, you know what, I can do something about this. I will do something about this. And inshallah, Allah is with me and He has the cure for all diseases. So I'm going to do whatever I can to stop myself from getting to the point where I want to end my life. So then you don't even have the thought that, well, if I do that, if I harm myself or end my life, then I'm not going to be punished because, well, I'm not feeling well. I'm insane. Once you start playing with that thought, it is very easy to cross over from that gray zone into the haram zone. So don't even entertain that thought. Okay, just stay away from it and look towards the halal. And look towards finding cures for it. And alhamdulillah, me going to that seminar was my way of trying to find or at least manage my bipolar and my depression. I've also come out with my memoir, and you can buy it on Amazon. It is titled Morning Wind, A Muslim Woman's Battle with Bipolar Disorder. All the sales go back to sustaining our nonprofit Mentally Fit Muslims. And shortly afterwards, I got a life coach, and then alhamdulillah, I became a life coach as well. And that just multiplied the power and confidence that I felt. That's when I actually first started blogging about my mental health challenges, back when blogging was very new and, you know, talking about mental health in the Muslim community was very new. I started going around and doing lectures. I wrote some ebooks. That website is down now. But what I do today is still inspired by the things that I wrote on that blog. So it's been over 20 years almost, 19 years to count exactly, 19 years that I'm blessed with bipolar. I'm very careful not to say I'm plagued by bipolar or I suffer from bipolar, because the words you choose can really have an effect on how you feel, what your thoughts are, and then it eventually affects your behavior. So really pay attention to your self-talk. When you have negative self-talk, when you have defeating thoughts, then they can bring your mood, they can change your mood so easily. So I keep saying I'm blessed with bipolar. Yes, I know there's hardship in it, okay? I don't deny that, okay? I'm not being naive and all positive and saying, you know what, it's all rosy. It's not, I get it. At the same time, there's blessings in it. And you have to do the hard work of seeing the blessings. And for me, this having this nonprofit, Mentally Fit Muslims, writing ebooks, getting my doing my membership, my support group, doing coaching, making videos, doing podcast, blogging, all of this is a blessing. It's a blessing from bipolar. Not only that, bipolar forces me to live a healthy lifestyle. I go to the gym, I see friends, I keep good relationships with my family, I work on my financial health, I especially work on my spiritual health, learning about Islam, watching lectures, signing up for courses, going to halakas. All those things, they play a role in mastering mental health. Of course, seeing your psychiatrist, therapist, medication, if that's what you need. No one thing can help you. It's like, when you have your make a web that has different, like all the support items, you can say, are inside your web. And if you rely on just one thing, it's gonna burn out and it's gonna break. So instead, build the different support networks, and you can get a coaching session with me so I can help you set that up, or join the membership. In there, I can help you through my own story and tell you what I did, and maybe it'll help you with what you did. Another blessing that came out of bipolar is that I wrote a memoir. And one of the reasons I started writing was I just wanted to feel better. And I knew that through writing, you actually gain a lot of power. You gain a lot of power and strength over your thoughts. You might think they're crazy and they're out of control and they're just automatic. Yes, they can be. But once you start to write, the pen becomes a leash that you put on those monstrous thoughts. And it really helps. It really helps you make sense of what's going on, and it's very cathartic. So I encourage you to write your own story, your depression story, your bipolar story, your mental health journey, and journal it and see what comes out of it. Trust me, you're going to feel a lot better. And then you can look back and you can objectively see it, and you can get distance from it. And once you get distance from it, you can analyze it. You can be aware of it. You can learn from it. And alhamdulillah, the memoir It's called Morning Wind. It's on Amazon. The memoir really helped me do that. It helped me make sense of the whole bipolar story or the journey that I went on. So yeah, that's been my story so far. Alhamdulillah, I'm married and I have kids, and I've run marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks. I've moved around a lot, which is actually a big trigger for bipolar. So, but despite having all those normal things, I still get sick. I still go to the hospital. That still happens because the triggers that I identify, they become old, and then I have new triggers that I need to learn and improve upon. So again, it's a journey. It's a mastering journey where you're constantly learning. The important thing is not to give up. The important thing is to keep going. I hope my story teaches you that mental health challenges can be overcome as long as you have a support network, you reconcile what diagnosis you have, and you set up things in your place to catch you when you fall. And it is okay when you fall. And it's okay that you can't work, or you can't have a family, or you can't have kids, or you know, you've gained a lot of weight, or you have a divorce, you've been to the hospital more than you can count. It's okay. That's just part of the journey. It's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of as long as you are not committing haram and you are constantly remembering Allah and realizing that this is actually a healing from Allah, because tests only come to those Allah loves. He reserves the extra hard test for the people he loves. Because think of the prophets, they were tested the most. Did that mean that Allah hated them? No. In Islam, we really have this cognitive reframing where when we look at suffering, we don't see it as a punishment from Allah. We see it as a way for Allah to show His love to us. So in that way, the stigma that's around mental health, it gets erased, it gets removed. And that's only for the people who are able to reframe this. So that's another lesson I want you to take from this video, is that reframe your story, reframe your mental illness diagnosis or mental health challenge. See it, like I said, as a blessing, blessed with bipolar or divine depression. There's a reason I didn't call my ebook Deathly Depression or Suffering with Bipolar. You know, I called it Blessed with Bipolar, Divine Depression, and even my memoir. I could have said, I don't know, something with suicide, Sabah suicidal, something like that. But I called it Morning Wind. My name actually means morning wind in Urdu. I called it that to have inspiration. And it's important. I started to reframe my situation, and that's how all these positive and helpful content came about. So do that in your life, and comment below or email me at support@mentallyfitmuslims.org. And let me know whether this story resonated with you. Did you find a part of it in yourself? And that's it for now. Assalamualaikum.